The following is a duplicate of Tape 2, Side 2 of the interview with Billy Liu, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Changing the subject for a minute, can you tell me how you, your family, and your friends were affected by the Depression?
Our family wasn't affected that much during the Depression. Our income was a little low, but we were able to skimp and save enough to get by. But I heard others having a hard time. I have a cousin that had three children, and he was finding it hard to meet the daily living expenses, so he even sent his family back to China.
How did he get the money to send them back to China?
Well, he had enough money to send them back, but he thought that might be cheaper to raise a family over there than over here. Then there's one fellow that's a pharmacist in Chinatown. He delved in the stock market quite a bit, and I understand he lost his shirt. Because in those days, the stock market, you can play it, there were only 10% down.
Margin
account. So that was a great opportunity for losses.
I see. How did your cousin, was it, that sent the family back?
Yes.
How did he make a living before the Depression?
Well, I think he was in the laundry business.
I see.
Yeah.
He owned it?
Yes. Most of the laundries are owned by a one-man operation or a two-man operation.
Mm-hmm. And his laundry business went down the drain?
Well, it was kind of low, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he thought of sending the family back there.
What was your father doing during the Depression? Did he
still
have
doing
his
chair
company?
Cleaning. No, doing chair cleaning business.
Ah, yes, chair cleaning. Mm-hmm. That was not affected.
Well, you have a little less to do, but you know, you still were able to earn some living.
Mm-hmm. You were going to high school, junior high school, during that time?
I was faculty almost out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of high school in 31.
I see. And you went to college right away?
Yes, I did.
And your father was able to support you?
No, I was supporting myself. I was working at the store part-time.
Your father's store?
Yes. I mean at Sun-in-Law.
Sun-in-Law.
The import business. The picture.
Belongs to your uncle?
Yeah, well, actually, it belonged to the family, you might say.
Oh, yes, but your uncle ran
right.
it.
My uncle is running it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was working under my uncle.
That reminds me, here you have the picture.
Yes.
So, you said this was taken in
1902. Yes.
Is that when the company was formed?
The company was formed in 1891.
Okay.
When the building was first built. The Garnier building, you would see that on top of the building there is 1891.
Oh my. And this was taken during the New Year.
Right,
time.
1902 then.
1902. Do you remember why they decided to pick 1902 to take this picture?
Well, I don't know. It seemed to me at that time they liked to have their pictures taken. This picture was taken by a regular commercial photographer.
Uh-huh. And,
I don't think anybody has an amateur camera in those days.
Mm-hmm. They got all these Chinese decorations, those drapes.
Yes, all those imported from China.
How about the costumes? Did they wear
yes.
them every day?
No, they don't wear those kind of costume all day, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably the typical costume, every day costume.
Yeah. There are six men
mm-hmm.
in this picture.
Yes.
Can you identify them for me?
I couldn't identify them for you now because I don't have the name.
Uh-huh. The one seated in the middle is your father. Huh?
Yes.
How about that? Is that your uncle?
Some cousin, no, that's not my uncle.
None of these are
no.
your uncle?
No.
Oh, I see. And this was a store that sold goods,
yes,
everyday
import,
goods?
Yes, food stuff and some art goods.
Mm-hmm. And what's this?
That's a lantern.
Ah, looks very different from the
lanterns
these days. And those are, you said, boxes
firecrackers.
Of firecrackers.
Mm-hmm. And those are wine, I think.
Wine, Chinese wine.
Mm, Chinese wine.
From Canton?
Probably so.
Mm. What about these?
Those look like books. Look like those blank books that they used to have for bookkeeping.
Ah, I see. What about those jars here underneath the wine?
Those look like ginger jars.
They actually contain ginger?
Preserved ginger?
Preserved ginger?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I see.
This little gadget here is for strings.
What do you mean for? Oh, for the strings to come
out. Yeah, right. Ball.
Oh, interesting. What about this big box here?
That's firecrackers. Let's
oh,
see what this.
They were off
on the side.
How come they didn't hang the firecrackers?
No, they don't hang it in the store. If they want to hang it, they'll hang it outside to burn.
I see. And what about the narcissus and the incense? The narcissus, I presume, had to be gotten here.
No, they're imported.
Really?
In fact, you can't import the narcissus to the United States at the present time.
Mm. It's very interesting. And that the picture hanging here, Guanggong picture, was that for? Did they actually worship it, or you know, did they go through a ceremony?
No, I don't think they did go for any ceremony on this occasion. It's just that they just put it up there and look nice.
Did they go,
the poultry here?
Go through any ritual to pray for good business during the next year?
I don't think my father did anything like that. I think there are other people that do. They do have Chinese temples where they go and worship. And burn incense.
Chinese temples here in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Where?
In those days, I don't know about now. I understand there is a Buddhist a group out here in Whitman Avenue in East Los Angeles.
And this store of your family was located on
421 North Los Angeles.
North Los Angeles Street. And you said it's still there?
Yes, the building is still there.
The building's still there.
Yes.
When did you dissolve the business?
Probably in 1956 or so.
That long?
Is that long ago?
Your uncle ran it until then?
No, my cousin was running it. During the war days and after.
Your cousin meaning your uncle's son?
Yes, my uncle's son. Yes.
I see. And then he sold it?
No, he never did sell it. He just closed it up. He moved up to North Broadway. I think at that time his plaza complex moved him out. They wanted to acquire the plaza thing.
There was a plaza, oh, the,
yeah.
What do you call it, the California Historical Group?
That's not the proper name for it, right? I think it has the word plaza in it. I don't remember, was it?
There was a street called Apple Plaza.
Yeah, Apple Plaza Street is the street I was born in.
Yeah. No,
the plaza is
that
circle. where the old mission is, right next to Alversity.
It was being preserved, or was it?
It's being preserved now, see, for historic purposes. According to the moved him out.
And then he moved to Broadway?
Yes. It's 600 kilometers Broadway.
One more question about the racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear anybody say that they were not happy to be Chinese, or they wished they were, you know, like regular Americans?
No, the Chinese should be proud of their race. I don't think they would say that they want to be American.
How about those that were born here, second, third generation?
My generation, I think, would say that they like to be Chinese.
How about your children?
But it's my Chinese. Children, I don't know how they feel.
They never, how did they react to learning things about China or learning Chinese? They resisted like you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, that's right. They resisted. And I find that some of our generation, even our own generation, I was fortunate enough to be in old Chinatown to learn a lot of Chinese and be able to write and read. But there are in my generation that are not able to do that, and they went to college, but they start studying Chinese again.
I see.
And I think the next generation, like my children and my son, or the children of my friends, would go back and study Chinese when they learn their Chinese and how good the Chinese culture culture is. So
nobody has ever said that they were embarrassed to be Chinese?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the Chinese has a should be proud of their race, you know, not like the color people. Well, the Mexicans are proud of their race, but the color people aren't.
The blacks.
The blacks, yeah.
switching the topic one more time, what about your own field, in your own field? How many CPAs were there when you became one, Chinese CPAs?
I think I was the first in Los Angeles area. I heard there were two in San Francisco at that time, maybe more, I don't know.
That was in 1951.
Yeah, right. There's another one, Edward Ng, that was right after me. You'll notice that my license number is 5202. This is 5,000 number. Today, the CPA number is about around 25,000. In California, the numbers. So you can see how fast the profession has grown since my
days. For how long were you the only one, or one of the very few Chinese CPAs?
I would say about 10 years.
10 years, from 51 to 60.
Yeah, and 60 at the beginning.
From the mid-60s? Early 60s, there were more CPAs. I see. And the reason you got into it was because you had the auditing?
Had the opportunity, opportunity to do that audit in Guam and Shanghai. In fact, I was looking at a profession when I first went to college. But I saw that the requirement was that you have to have 2 years of experience. And I said, well, 2 years experience is going to be a tough one to lip.
Because nobody will hire you?
Right. So that's probably the reason why I changed the foreign trade.
Ah, I see.
Because I love numbers. Because in math, in high school, every one of my math classes I got A's. So math was, to me, sort of inborn.
I see. Didn't you consider art, you said?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that sort of mutually exclusive?
Well, I don't know whether it's mutually exclusive or not, but somehow, I don't know how I got interested in art. In junior high, I drew a little cartoon that was in the junior high newspaper.
Oh.
And I was thinking about art even then. And then I got in high school, I still was thinking of art.
Mm-hmm.
Natural to me, I guess, to draw.
Did you have a tough time deciding between art and accounting or foreign trade?
No, I took whatever opportunity I had to whatever way the wind turned, you might say.
Mm-hmm. And
when I got out of high school, I tried to get a job with an artist, advertising agency where they hire artists for commercial art. But I wasn't able to get any jobs.
And instead you went to college?
Well, I went to college and I was working part-time in Sunbeam War.
Uh-huh.
So that by the time I got into the junior year, well, then I thought, not the junior year, but the sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
probably. I changed my mind and said, I better stick to foreign trade, because here I'm working in foreign trade, which is well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did Sunbeam War make a lot of profits? Is that why it turned you on?
Yes, they were doing very good as a Chinese firm.
Uh-huh.
I think
did they pay you, or were you expected to work free for
no,
the family?
No, they were paying me. Just like an outside employee.
Hmm. What were you doing there? Specifically?
Everything. Cleaning a showcase,
uh-huh.
setting up the show window, do delivering, open cases, pack the cases for shipping.
Oh my.
Jack of all trades. I mean, there's no special work that we have to do, but everything, whatever is needed, we do.
Were there a lot of companies like Sunbeam War?
Yes, there were quite a few. In fact, Yi Xing Qiong is one of them. Wing Qiong Long was one of them.
Mm.
All the same type of trade. Of course, Sunbeam War was specialized in raw materials and rattan and bamboo.
Mm.
So we were supplying some of these rattan furniture makers with raw materials.
Is it, and that's why your father got into caning?
Maybe so. Maybe that's what, why, because it was some of my cousin was doing caning.
Okay. Would you consider yourself a successful CPA?
Well, that's a good question. I think as far as success is concerned, I think I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel is the key to your success?
Well, I think I am more able to get along with my clients than some other people probably. I treat them well, and I do a good job for them. In fact, I lost a client the first of the year, and after 6 months, he was dissatisfied with the one he turned to, and he's back again.
Did you say most of your clients are Chinese?
A very large percentage, probably about 75%.
Oh, what about dealing with America? What do you feel is the difference dealing with America?
No difference. One thing, the Americans are probably a little more sophisticated as far as to accounting is concerned,
mm-hmm.
more so than the Chinese. So, I'm a Chinese client. I have to explain to them what the law is,
mm-hmm.
what you have to do, more than the American people.
Mm-hmm. when you decided to take up this line of CPA, well, no, accounting profession, mm-hmm. say, was it because of the income? What lured you into it? Or was it just sort of falling into it?
I guess I should say that, as you say, I just happened to fall into it.
Because of the part-time bookkeeping.
Yes, right. And then we got that opportunity to go to do that audit job in Guam mm-hmm. and Shanghai.
Mm-hmm. I see. What about other people in your own field, the Americans? Do you feel that you are accepted by them, American CPAs? Do you deal with them at all?
Yes, I do. I belong to the California Society of CPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And the American Institute of CPAs.
Mm-hmm.
I attend their meetings, and they, you know, seem to get along with me, and I can get along with them.
Uh-huh.
Socially, I don't know, because I haven't attended any of their social events. I did attend one of their national conventions,
mm-hmm.
but I seem to be lost in the mob.
Was that considered a social or a non-social meeting?
Well, I consider a convention a social meeting. They have seminars and lectures, but mainly it's social.
Mm-hmm.
They have dancing, they have golfing, you know, all kinds of things.
Did you participate in any of that?
Not too much. Like the one I was talking about, I went to New York. And I say it's sort of lost in the mouth.
Did you have many friends there?
No. I have a cousin who was in New York, but he wasn't in the accounting profession. So I go out with him. They showed me the town.
Mm-hmm. How many CPAs do you have as friends?
You're talking about the Chinese or Americans?
Both.
Both?
Separately.
Probably about 10 Caucasians and probably 20 Chinese, maybe.
I see. Mm. And at that convention, none of them were there?
No.
I see. Mm.
It was in New York, see.
What happens in a convention?
Conventions, where they give talks and then have the social events
mm-hmm.
and show you the city.
Did you feel at ease in that kind of setting?
No, I didn't. As far as lecture and the others are concerned, I mean, it don't make too much difference. But to the social events, I feel sort of left out.
Were they mostly?
Go to dinner, for instance, and you sit there and they don't talk to you too much.
Did you try to talk to anybody?
Yes, you talk to them, but they, you know, they don't.
They don't respond?
They respond.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, well, then no more.
Do you think that's the case of a cultural gap or was it just because
you
didn't know
them? I don't know what it is, actually. It's maybe myself. I don't know. I mean, I don't talk as enough, I say.
Did you
being
take
an extrovert.
Your wife?
No, I didn't. I wasn't married then.
Oh, that was
yeah.
a long time ago
yeah.
then.
Mm-hmm.
Long time
yeah.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
54, I believe.
I see.
54, 55.
Mm. You must have been the only Chinese at that convention.
I don't quite remember. I think I talked to somebody from Hawaii.
And he was Chinese?
Yeah, he was Chinese.
I see. That was all?
That was it,
yeah. Uh-huh. I see. But do you feel that you're work made you more, perhaps more aggressive or more westernized?
I don't think the work has anything to do with being westernized, I don't think.
For instance, in competing with other CPA firms, would you have to become more outgoing, or is it, or maybe you could just stay the same because your clientele is mostly Chinese, and so you don't have to work at keeping themselves to speak up.
Well, it's a funny thing. When I first came out to practice by myself, I was singing around about half of the time. But then...
You mean sitting around not doing anything?
Yes, because I didn't have that much clientele. But it grew by itself, by referrals, most of the time from attorneys, other professions, and from clients. And not too much, you know, like say soliciting to get business. So it sort of built it up by itself.
And it has been growing steadily over the last
20
years?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, a little over 20 years.
Oh, I see. Are you happy in this line of work?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Thank you.
It's quite a challenge.
Challenge?
Yeah.
How do you feel in April or March?
Well, pretty run down, but then the rest of the year is good. And, you have always have problems, so always something new.
Yeah. You don't feel in that you are shortchanged in any way because you're Chinese, right, being a CPA?
I would have liked to, you know, have a bigger white clientele, maybe, where I might be able to do a bigger job and hire more people and build a bigger firm.
But
being Chinese, I think I feel more comfortable with a smaller firm.
Do you feel you're restricted to having a smaller firm because...
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of restricted.
I see. What about your white clients? Where do they come from?
Referral.
From your Chinese clients?
Yeah, from your Chinese firm, from attorney.
Mm-hmm. I see. And... do they refer you more white clientele, or do you know?
Well, whatever they have, you might say. I mean, the opportunity for them to refer clients when they refer.
And you have 75% Chinese clientele, right?
Well,
and 25% white.
White, not white itself as such, but not Chinese, non-Chinese, you might say, like Korean clients.
Ah, I see.
Japanese clients.
Oh.
Jewish clients.
Oh, yeah. Very interesting. Okay, thank you.
This is the end of the duplicate of tape 2, side 2 of the interview with Billy Liu.